Hello and welcome to the Jesus Tribe podcast. It's exciting to have you here. We're currently on a series titled Is Anyone Up There? Where we answer questions regarding the existence of God. Is there a God? Does he exist? If he does, how does this affect me as a human being? Join us on this amazing journey as we search and try to make a case for and against the existence of God.
Hi, my name is Faith.
And I'm Daniel, and welcome once again. On our last podcast, we talked about the idea of the first cause. If you remember, we're on this series titled, Is Anyone Up There? And we've started a subplot where we're examining several arguments that support or that point towards the existence of some divine creator, God. Right, and we looked at the idea of the first cause, how there has to be a first cause. If you haven't listened to that yet, I really, really recommend that you go ahead and do that. So, yeah,
it was definitely an awesome podcast. So, today we're going to be talking about another one of my favorite arguments for or against God ever, and it's intelligent design. I haven't studied it like for 3 years, but I've been aware of this concept for a while now, and the first time I heard it I was so fascinated. I was very interested in it because I'm like, wow, it seems like something that is so obvious, but you just miss it, you know.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Could you please give us a quick explanation, just a quick definition of what the intelligent design is about?
So yeah, I mean, just like you said, the argument for intelligent design is one that occurs very commonly, and that's possibly because of how intuitive it claims to be. And you'll start to realize as we go on in this series, just like the discussion we had on the argument for first cause, is that many of these arguments are things that we may logically just naturally claim to be true. And I think for intelligent design, one of the easiest ways to just explain this is to use a simple analogy, or maybe two. If you're following our articles on our Instagram channel, which again, you probably should check out. The analogy we used was to picture yourself walking through a beach or a forest or whatever natural area suits you best. And then you come across a box. And with that box, you see a wooden box. You see a metallic handle. You start to turn the handle and then a ballerina pops out. Or maybe it's a jack in the box. Or whatever the case may be. And music starts to play. Even if you've never heard about a ballerina box or a jack in the box, whatever the case may be, instinctively you would know that there was some sort of mind behind that contraption you're holding in your hands, such that when you turn the gear, it makes music. As you turn, the ballerina turns. Or for instance, you walk into a garden or into a jungle or a forest rather, and as you're walking, you're sure you're lost. 5 minutes later, you stumble upon an area that has been cleared out. Not only that, the grass has been cut to make letters, and it's saying, welcome home. No one would just say, this just probably happened. I mean, isn't nature amazing? See how these things could just naturally form of their own accord. No one would think that. Immediately you know that a human being has been here. Why? Because we know that alphabets, letters, words are the constructions of the human mind. And so the argument simply follows from that to say that when you look at structure, when you look at order, when you look at functionality, if those three things are they exist in some thing or the other, then there must have been some form of intelligence behind it. That's the argument. And so you look at nature, and we can go so scientific and start calling out facts after the other. And you see how the ecosystem works. You see how the animal cycle, you see all these things, and you see some form of order in nature. I remember listening to Mufasa in Lion King, and he was talking about how they eat the antelopes and they die, they become the grass, the antelopes eat the grass, and then the cycle of life is kept, and things like that. I mean, the truth is, nature, and it's so ordered, it's so structured, even our human bodies, to suggest that indeed there is some form of intelligent mind behind creation.
Yes, thank you, Daniel. So going a little scientific, like you suggested in your brief intro, I kind of highlighted a couple of facts that I thought were really mind-blowing, that just kind of suggest that whatever we have going on Earth did not happen by chance. It couldn't have happened by chance, because these are just a few facts out of like 1,000 or even more that you just hear, and then you just wonder, like, wow, someone somewhere had to have sat down and thought this thing through, because it certainly did not happen by chance. So let's hear a few of these mind-blowing facts. The first one is, we shed 600,000 particles of skin every hour. Like, when I saw this, I'm like, I remember thinking, oh, if I'm shedding skin, why am I still here? Like, why do I still have any part of me left? Am I not supposed to, like, have shed completely? But if I'm shedding that amount of particles every hour, it means I am, you know, regrowing it, so I'm not losing anything, you know, and it's very mind-blowing. The second one is, every single person has a unique tongue print. Like, I mean, I would know we have thumbprints, but your tongue, every single person has a unique tongue print. 7.8 billion of us. That's crazy.
Including people that have died in history.
Exactly. Then, an adult human being is made up of approximately, I don't even know how to pronounce the numbers, 7 octillion atoms. That is 7 trillion trillion. So, you know, numbers that you can't even picture. And you're like, wow, I'm here existing, just moving around, thinking, oh, all well and good. But there's a whole system going on to make me stand, just keep me alive, you know. And then, in a lifetime, your brain's long-term memory can hold up to 1 quadrillion bits of information. I don't know any device that has that amount of memory.
I don't think it exists. I don't think that exists yet.
But in a lifetime, my brain can hold that much information. And I've always wondered why I would hear a song that I haven't heard in like 10 years, and I will still sing along. I will know the lyrics from top to bottom. Usually amazing. But I mean, my brain did that. And my brain did just exist on its own. Someone made it that way, you know.
Yeah.
So it's clear that whoever made the human being was super intentional, and he definitely knew what he was doing. You know, it wasn't coincidental. He wasn't just playing around and saying, oh, okay, maybe I should add this here, maybe this should come in here. It was all intentional. It was all part of a plan.
Yeah.
You know, because that's the only logical sense. Everything couldn't just have existed. We are a lot of human beings on the earth. No one is as jobless as, no one is that precise that you just play mumbo jumbo and boom, everything just sets in order, and then everything is like self-existent, like everything in itself has the power to recreate itself. You know, it's very interesting. I find it very interesting. And then there's something that, as Newton said, one of his quotes that I find very fascinating as well. He said, in the absence of any other proof, the thumb alone would convince me of God's existence. That's the human thumb, your thumbprint. That's the same made by Isaac Newton. And, you know, it just points to evidence that suggests that our world works very well. It was designed in a specific way. The way things function now, you would see that the entire thing was planned. It was designed to happen this way. And this are a few of the reasons why I enjoy every bit of conversation around intelligent design. What was some of the things that, you know, that bugs your mind the most about
the
entire design?
I mean, just hearing you even read some of those facts, it's amazing, to be honest. It's amazing. I think for me, what amazes me the most usually is the functionality of it all. I can possibly even grasp, oh, there are a bunch of atoms and they all do stuff. But when you say they all work interdependently, so for instance, like what we're talking about, the human body, the brain alone is a marvel. I've taken a couple classes in neural networks and artificial intelligence, and all of that is all just trying to model things we find naturally occurring in nature, like just the nerves in the brain and the way our neurons connect alone cannot be simulated by any computer we have today. It's mind blowing to see the way the organs relate with one another, and that's on a small scale. If you then bring it out to like the solar system, or even just talking about how precise conditions had to be for life on Earth to exist, the probability of it is, it borders on impossible, to be honest. And when you then see of the vast universe, and then you narrow down into our Milky Way, you narrow down into our sun and our solar system, and you narrow down to just the Earth, the right amount for water, for land, for oxygen, and then you see life forms, which till today we have no way of explaining how life actually came about. And then you have different complexities of animals even gradually working its way up to the human mind that is able to ponder on its own existence. It's amazing. It really is amazing. I know intelligent design is one that has fascinated not just me but many people over the years, on both camps actually, whether or not you do think there is an intelligent mind behind it all. It's really something to think about. I love an analogy. Yeah. I can't remember who said this, that if you see a scrap of metal, a pile of metal scrap, you can't say, and then you say, oh, a tornado happens, and then you're left with a plane that functional with all the gears, everything. That doesn't happen. Usually, intelligent design is the work of intelligent minds, and if the world can be considered an intelligent design, it just seems to suggest that there is an intelligent mind behind it all.
Yeah, but I'm very curious, you know. So I mean, I would look at everything happening in nature and just the way the world is existing, and automatically I would want to think that someone is behind all of this. But I know that not everybody would think in that direction, and so people would not want to probably agree that there is an intelligent designer behind all of this. So I'm curious, what do they think, or what do these people think is responsible for everything that exists today?
That's a very good question. If you remember when we started this series, we are going to try to be as objective as we can to properly examine as many sides to these arguments as we possibly can get at. And rightly so, of course, like not everyone believes in that the argument for intelligent design points to an intelligent designer. And there are two major objections to this argument that I've come across in my study. Of course, there'll probably be tons more, but I think the two major ones we can focus on. The first one is that, as opposed to the idea of an intelligent designer literally fine-tuning creation and the earth and eventually mankind and all of that, that all we see around us is the product of billions of years of trial and error, which we know to be evolution. In fact, not just evolution, starting from the Big Bang, and then for billions of years of constant exploding and creation of stars, ultimately eventually creating our sun, ultimately creating the solar system, the earth, and then even on the earth, millions and millions of years of evolution accounts for the very first life forms, which eventually led to human beings. But that's the first argument, that this isn't the work of design, it's the work of trial and error. We'll get into some of those things. And the second argument is the one in which nature is not as intelligent as we sometimes might claim it is. That in fact, there are so many imperfections in nature that we really shouldn't count it to be intelligent design. And I think we can, let me just try to talk a bit about the two of them. I know for the first one, we would end up talking a lot more about evolution in the coming podcast episodes. So please stay tuned. We're going to look at this way more. But for the second one, I think we could dwell on that for a bit. The idea that nature is imperfect. And so intelligent design really is not as intelligent as we think. And I think this is an unfair position to take, because even from the words, intelligent is not synonymous with perfect. That's just, that's clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're two different words and they're not synonyms.
Point.
Yeah, it's something can be intelligent. I mean, the reason we keep creating phones every year, apart from the fact that there's a reason to cash in on people that want the latest iPhone, mm-hmm. is because there are always improvements to be made. However, you don't look at the first telephone that was ever created and say, because this is far from, it doesn't have a touch screen, it doesn't have Wi-Fi, it is not intelligent design. That's a silly postulation. And sometimes
it would even take, would have taken more to come up with that then. And I said it would have taken more to come up with that then than it would to come up with a new phone now.
Probably. But exactly. The fact is, there was intelligent design then, there was intelligent design now. Neither forms of those designs are perfect, but they were intelligent. And that's because there was an intelligent mind behind it. Now, when it comes to the world, of course, we can get into the Judean Christian worldview to explain reasons that there might be seeming imperfection in the world we see around us, right? Talking about sin and the fall of creation. And we'll get into that in much later themes, right? I don't want us to get ahead of ourselves. But that's one explanation. But of course, if you're unwilling to receive the idea of an intelligent designer, then you're definitely not be willing to receive the explanation for imperfections in his design. But the point is, the argument that because nature in itself seems to have flaws, or there might seem to be certain imperfections, or we see that the sun, for instance, is like every other star, burning and eventually will die, right? Or things like the way the earth is and global warming and all of that, which we can spend hours talking about. But the point I'm getting at is that something doesn't have to be perfect or without a need for improvement for it to count as intelligent, right? And so the argument, that counter argument, that because the world seems not to be so perfect, there can be an intelligent mind behind it. It really doesn't hold, in my opinion.
Yes. Yes, thank you, Daniel. You've explained that beautifully well. So I'm thinking the second main argument against this would be the Big Bang Theory, right? But like you said, we're not going to delve into that now because we have an entire episode dedicated to that later on in this series. So, I mean, we should stick around so we could dissect that together.
But I
think it's just very great to emphasize that, like you said earlier, objectivity is really important now, and I think it would just take you going to some places to realize that nature is so beautiful and it didn't happen by chance. And I think just that alone, if you're being objective enough, it should suggest something to you. Right. I mean, it does to me all the time. I feel like even if I wasn't Christian, I would wonder a whole lot. And I would think that nature itself would lead me to asking questions that would eventually, you know, lead me to arriving at the conclusion, because there is so much. I mean, is it the animals? Is it the sky? The colors in the sky? Is it some animals? I see some animals and I'm like, who made you? Like, who actually made you, you know? I think the only word for that is mind-blowing. It's very mind-blowing.
It really is. And it's, I mean, you can look at it from so many angles. Like I was saying earlier, just even the idea of math alone, to me, it argues for an intelligent mind. The fact that you can establish formulas that are so structured, they fit into, you can find a formula for gravity, and then you can use that to find other formulas that end up working together to form complex systems. It's that amount of precision is just mind-blowing, in my opinion. And like you said, even if you might not straight away say, oh, there is a God behind it all, you would be forced to wonder that the way nature works as a cohesive unit, the way there seems to be some form of balance and counterbalance. First of all, on a micro scale, we look at even electrons and how the number of electrons and the number of protons balance out an atom and things like that, or just the human body or even life in general, how bodily functions are coordinated, however it may be. And then, like we said, scaling it up into rivers, mountains, the water cycle, rainfalls, the sun evaporated, rainfalls again. It's all these systems. And I mean, the word that we're even using to describe them are what? Systems, because they are literally bodies of units working together. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. So I think we'll just end it on this note for now. Just take a moment and just wonder. I think sometimes it's really good to let your mind just reflect and think on these things. You know, maybe go on YouTube and watch a video of nature. I love nature a lot. I enjoy watching nature. Like, you could leave me by a beach and go, and I'm by the water side for long. I just enjoy it. It gives me so much peace and calm, and I can't explain it, you know. So I think just take a moment to reflect on how beautiful nature is, how beautiful systems have been set up, how the world in itself is designed to exist on its own and to reproduce and recreate. And just take a moment and just reflect. If you have any questions, we're always willing and happy to read them and answer them. So drop it in the comment sections, send us a DM, shoot us an email, and we will get you a response ASAP. Thank you, Daniel, for this wonderful episode. Awesome. See you on the next one, guys.
Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Tribe podcast. We are an organization aimed at presenting the gospel of Christ in its simplicity to everyone everywhere. If this podcast has stirred up any questions, please feel free to mail us at tribejesus@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram or Facebook @JesusTribe to stay up to date with our other activities and content. Till next time.